This is the takeaway. So what is the intent of ISIS aside from putting on a show of savage brutality every few weeks by beheading some hostage or trapping some ethnic group and leaving them exposed and dying on a mountaintop, as was the case with the Christian Yazidis? In the city of Kobani, a town that has proved to be a stubborn holdout in ISIS's fight inside Syria, the mission appears to be a wholesale slaughter of the Kurds. There is even a new twisted propaganda element to the battle, with hostage John Cantley apparently compelled to report on the killing of the Kurds as though he is a reporter for some newly organized Voice of the Islamic State. Joining us is Joaquim Medin, a freelance journalist who was evacuated from Kobani just over 3 weeks ago. Joaquim, welcome.
Thank you.
Can you tell me a little bit about Kobani and how under siege it is and why it has taken so long for this battle to come to some sort of conclusion? And we don't even know if there's a conclusion now.
No, I mean, basically, the last reports are telling about 40% or so of the city are still in the hands of ISIL. And a big reason why the fight has been going on for this long, I mean, well over 40 days now, is the fact that the resistance with the local population is a lot stronger than in other cases. When I was evacuated the first days of October, most of the civilians had already left or were leaving because of the fact that the coalition bombings weren't really stopping any ISIL advancements. But a few civilians decided, though, to stay in the city with the local defense forces to arm themselves and to defend the city no matter what the cost is.
Is this a chaotic situation in Kobani, like, say, in Somalia, where people are running around with pickup trucks and 50 caliber machine guns? Or is this a much more organized armored assault where you have tanks and military vehicles being used and street-to-street fighting that's coordinated with advanced communications?
I would say it's sort of a mixture, actually. I mean, we've seen, it's a well-known fact that the people of Kobani are fighting with mainly only light weaponry against U.S.-made tanks, Humvees, and so on. So it's a really uneven fight. But I didn't see anything chaotic or unorganized. On the contrary, I mean, the defense forces are highly, highly disciplined. I mean, they've been able to create a very disciplined, organized army from the local population.
What would you say is the symbolic or ethnic significance of Kobani to the Kurds themselves? Is this an emotionally charged city, and is the attack on Kobani an attack on all the Kurds?
It's very symbolic and very, very political. The local Kurdish population took over control in 2012 and kicked out the Assad regime. And they've been able to implement social revolutions where they have been able to get cultural and political freedom as Kurds for the first time ever in the history of Syria, where they've been able to speak for the first time their own language freely. I mean, to show political affiliations openly and so on and so on. That's a huge reason why people are fighting this hard to defend this idea. If it was only a question of defending human lives, they would all escape from Kobani. They're fighting for this idea.
And originally, the ISIS forces were described as part of the coalition of forces that was opposed to Bashar al-Assad. But it's fairly clear that this battle for Kobani indicates that ISIS is intent on slaughtering the Kurds as much as anyone else who's slaughtered the Kurds down through history.
That's correct. And not only slaughter them, but also actually to enslave them. What the Kurds have been building up, that is inclusion of all ethnic and religious groups in society, the participation of women in politics and in the armed forces, that's contrary to anything that the fundamentalists stand for.
Joaquim Medin is a freelance journalist who was evacuated from Kobani over 3 weeks ago. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.